incarnation of Christ is what makes Christianity different from all of the other faiths. It's about God coming from heaven to earth to be present with us.
Christmas is all about God coming into our story, helping us figure out how we go about life in our world.
We're talking about one of the greatest stories in the Bible in the context of while people are busy and they are in the midst of chaos of shopping.
Advent Conspiracy is an invitation to celebrate the story of Christmas, not by just remembering, not by just proclaiming, but by actually living out the story of Christmas.
It's an attempt to recapture the beauty of Christmas. If we're going to celebrate the birth of Christ, we thought it should actually be about the birth of Christ. Too often we make it about the things that actually consume us.
It's a chance for us to do two things, to worship fully and also to love practically. I'm so excited about this series. It's going to give us a chance every time we're together to worship God fully and also to be able to love people practically by supporting people and helping people both locally and in the world.
You know, our church traditionally, every Advent season, has taken a special offering that we've called the Poinsettia Project. This year, our special offering is going to go to support five different missions that our church supports on a year-round basis.
The five ministries, I'm happy to say, are Military Ministry, Faith Backpack, Meals on Wheels, our Mexico Missions, and Cuba Hurricane Relief.
You know, I think many times our children know better than we do that Christmas should be about Jesus. I'm so excited about Advent Conspiracy because I think it allows the Holy Spirit to move in a creative way to help impact our homes and our community and world. I'm so excited that you're going through this series with us.
Well, hopefully by now, you've gotten all your Christmas shopping done and the things baked that you need to have baked. It's an exciting time, isn't it? I just love this time of year. And yet, we've been talking throughout the season of Advent about the Advent conspiracy, about pushing back against consumerism that seems to just overwhelm us at Christmas time. And this is really nothing new. We've been dealing with this for years. There was a man named Charles Schulz. You might know him. Charles Schulz was a cartoonist. He made the cartoon Peanuts and had his main character was Charlie Brown, who was really Schulz's alter ego. Schulz, growing up as a child, felt like he was always kind of on the outside. He felt like he didn't really belong with the rest of the kids, and he always felt like the world was not really made for him, that he was always kind of mediocre in the things that he did. And so when Charles started to draw Peanuts and have Charlie Brown as the character, he was the pitcher that could never pitch, you know. He was the one that always would optimistically take a kick at the ball that Lucy was holding, right? He was the one who wanted to fly his kite. He was the one that got the Christmas tree that was barely alive. And it was this character, Charlie Brown, that Charles Schulz chose to use to push back against consumerism back in 1965. He had already become a very popular and widely read cartoonist. He was the most popular cartoonist in the world, really, at that time. And his agent came to him around May of 1965 to give him the good news that he had sold his Christmas special to Coca-Cola. They were going to endorse it. They were going to pay for that. And he had the opportunity to produce this Christmas musical. But right from the very beginning, things didn't go very well for Mr. Schulz. He had complete rights to direct the program however he wanted, but he got a lot of resistance from a lot of people because he wanted to do things differently. And all of the experts in the show business field were warning him about the things that he was doing. It wasn't going to work. And they were worried about how this show, A Charlie Brown Christmas, would appear to the world, because he did so many things different. Like, for example, he used real children's voices instead of high-pitched adult voices. And so he went out and he recruited and trained little children to play the voices of the little children in the Charlie Brown's Christmas. They had no laugh track through the whole thing, and the producers are saying, well, how's anybody going to know when they're supposed to laugh if we don't put in a laugh track? Charles Schulz said, never mind, don't worry about it. He had sophisticated music written by an Emmy Award winner, and so, but it was different. It was, you know, parts of it was jazz. Who ever heard of jazz music for a Christmas special? That wasn't going to work. And then the coup de grace was when Mr. Schulz insisted that they read Luke 2, the nativity story. And even his own agent was telling him, this is a loser. You don't want to do this. Entertainment and religion do not mix. Please, let's skip the nativity story and just talk about Christmas. And Charles Schulz just smiled and patted them on the head and walked out of the room. When it was all finished and in production, the vice presidents of CBS came and viewed it in the viewing room, and throughout the entire special, there was not one laugh. They squirmed in their seats. They wondered silently to themselves, and when the show was completely over, they went to the producer and they said, well, you gave it a good try. I know that Mr. Schulz is hard to live with, and we did give him the rights to exclusively command things, so we don't blame you. It's not your fault. I'm sorry. But now we have this contractual obligation, and we've got to air it because Coca-Cola has already paid for it. And, of course, as you know, the great part of the story is that A Charlie Brown Christmas became the most successful, longest-running special in the history of television. Because we all have this need to push back against consumerism, and that's what A Charlie Brown Christmas was all about. Snoopy and Lucy, they were all aglow with all the glittering presents and the cute little Christmas music and all that kind of stuff. And Charlie Brown kept asking, but what is Christmas all about? Will somebody please tell me what Christmas is all about? So tonight, our scripture reading is going to be brought to you by none other than Linus himself.
Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?
Sure, Charlie Brown, I can tell you what Christmas is all about. Lights, please.
And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. The glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.
This is the word of God for the people of God. And as Linus walks off the stage, he goes to Charlie Brown and he says, and that's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown. So there's your answer. This Advent season, as we've been going through the Advent conspiracy, we've focused on four different things: worship fully, making worship every moment of our day, that whatever we do, we give glory to God and raise up our praises to God, to spend less, to make it less about consumerism, to give more, to give relationally, to give of ourselves. And tonight, I just want to reflect a few minutes on loving all. As Charles Schulz felt like he was an outsider, he understood the gospel message that God has a special interest in those who are left out, those who are marginalized, those who don't fit in, those who are poor, those who are aliens and not even citizens of the land in which they dwell, those who are oppressed and have no sense of power in their lives and they feel helpless in the things that are going on in their lives. These are the people that God has a soft spot in his heart for. And Jesus came to show us that in the way he healed the sick. He fulfilled the prophecies of Isaiah. He preached the word in such a way that brought the Old Testament scriptures alive and gave people hope for the first time ever. But he did not just show care and love for the poor. He also showed care and concern for the wealthy, for the powerful. He preached against those people who would have an attachment to the monies that they have. And as Christmas is all about Jesus, it's good for us to know that he loves you and me too, whatever our circumstances are. If we're poor, he wants us to have abundant life. If we're rich, he wants us to have abundant life in God and not attached to the things that we own. If we're healthy, he wants us to do more with our robust health. If we're sick, he wants to show mercy on us in healing. It reminds me, of course, of the scripture from John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his own son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have eternal life." And here I focus on those words, "For God so loved the world," as in the whole world. There was no part of the world which God did not love. There was no part of the world which God did not wish to redeem. And so he brought his own son. He became the word made flesh, and he gave everything that he had, and he laid it on the cross so that that sacrifice would be enough to reconcile us to him. Living in Christ means everything we do reflects his compassion for the rich and for the poor, the lost and the found, the powerful and the powerless, the outcast and the in crowd. And so this year, our church, Shalimar United Methodist, has had a banner year in reaching out to love all. We've loved all in many of our offerings that we've given. We've had a record year in giving. I think Pastor Philip was telling me that it's over $300,000 we have raised and given to causes outside of our own church, causes beyond just paying the light bill and the payroll. $300,000. I'm so proud to be a part of this church. We've given to things like the United Methodist Children's Home. And again, we're having the White Christmas offering tomorrow because they're still stretched in their budget, and we want to help them as much as we can. There are so many broken families in our area that need a safe place for children to go, and so we're still supporting them. United Methodist Committee on Relief, UMCOR, we've purchased countless flood buckets and responded to hurricanes in Texas and Louisiana and Florida and Puerto Rico and other places around the world. We've had our Cuba mission, where we are establishing churches and supporting seminary in Cuba to raise up more pastors to spread the good news of the gospel of Jesus. And all of these things are not done for our own benefit, not done to make ourselves feel good. These are things that we do because we love all because God loves us and he showed us that love. And our only way we have of responding to that is to have love of our own. We have sharing and caring to provide food supplies for people who have a hard time buying groceries in the Fort Walton Beach area. On and on it goes. This church has been so generous, and I'm so pleased to be a part of it. And we can start 2018 as a church that loves all. It caps off and makes this Christmas a special Christmas because Jesus was born for us. And we were born to live out his calling in this world today. Give yourself to the world as Christ did and love all. I'd like to invite the team to come up and lead us out in music. And as they come forward, I just want to share a little poem with you that was written by Howard Thurman. Howard Thurman is a very famous theologian and preacher. And he had a poem called The Work of Christmas. The Work of Christmas. Now, when I think about the work of Christmas, I think about all the things we've done leading up to this. You know, all the cooking, all the present buying, all the things that we do in preparation for worship and so forth. But hear what Howard Thurman has to say about the work of Christmas. When the song of the angels is stilled, when the star in the sky is gone, when the kings and the princes are home, when the shepherds are back with their flock, the work of Christmas begins. To find the lost, to heal the broken, to feed the hungry, to release the prisoner, to rebuild the nations, to bring peace among people, to make music in the heart. So my prayer for you, brothers and sisters, as we go into the Christmas Eve services and Christmas Day and enjoy the week ahead, I want you to have a Charlie Brown Christmas. A Christmas with the true meaning of Jesus. Let's pray. Gracious Lord, you have given us your truth and your light. And all we can say is thank you and hallelujah. And go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Loosen our tongues and let it be so, Lord. Amen.